Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the various peoples living in the forest, eating moss and trout. Good morning to those fellows out east who've got a really bad case of the gout. If you went out last night and she broke up with you, it's okay if you want to pout. I don't know, but as far as advice goes, I'm all out. It is Sunday, April the 6th. That's the 6th of April, if you can believe it, 2025. It's almost 5:30 a.m. right here on the Olympic Peninsula. And there's that general feeling, right? Something in the distance. Something slunking along. Something big and ugly. Covered in rat feces. Heading this way. It's heading this way, baby. Something big. Gonna need the trig. Take an angle. On that walking mangle, coming this way, heading our way. But like I said, it's the 6th of April, 2025. It's almost 5:30 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. Here's a quote, and I'll tell you who said it. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and/or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Now what's funny is a guy by the name of Joseph Goebbels, the minister for propaganda under Hitler, he said that. And you'd say, well, Dan, why are you quoting a shithead? I don't know. Dane Wigington quotes Zbigniew Brzezinski all the fucking time. And Zbig was one of the biggest shitheads in human history. So yeah, I'll quote a shithead too. The illusory truth effect, also known as the illusion of truth, describes how when we hear the same false information repeated over and over again, We often come to believe it is true. Troubling, this even happens when people should know better. That is, when people initially know that the misinformation is false. What does that mean, Dan? What are you getting at? I don't know. Why don't we keep riding the train? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. When the Jews push the Holocaust, they're getting ready to rape and murder a shit ton of babies. When the Zionist produces a movie and inserts the word Holocaust, when the movie that wins the Oscars is all about the Holocaust, if the number one book on the high school reading list is Night, somebody's about to kill and rape a shit ton of babies. The truth doesn't need a movie every couple years. The truth doesn't need people repeating the same thing over and over again. It's very insidious. It's not always just about the movie that's about the Holocaust. It's about how the Holocaust ends up in everything. It's like the microplastics. It's in everybody's brain. It's in every movie. It's like the Marvel movies. You know, the X-Men movies. They definitely injected the Holocaust into the X-Men movies. And you could say, well, Dan, that's because it might have been originally part of the story. And the question I have is the story true? That's a good question. Another way of thinking about this, in my humble opinion, is to ask a slightly different kind of question, and that is, if you find yourself being lied to like this, in this situation, where people tell you something is absolutely true, and they keep telling you over and over again, never, ever, ever forget, it seems to me you have a right to come back with, why do you keep saying this? And if someone comes up to you and says, this idea is taboo. This idea is taboo, Dan. You stay away from this idea. You don't talk about it. You don't research it. You don't even have an opinion about it. In fact, you can't even say it's true unless you're recognized by you-know-who. Any idea within the realm of people, human beings who are not perfect, any idea within the realm of politics or history that somebody tells you is forbidden, taboo, you can't question it, almost invariably, those ideas are false. So we have two concepts here. We have the idea that if you repeat a story enough, and grifters do this all the time, gaslighters do this, keep repeating the same thing over and over again. I've experienced this myself, believe me. It sucks. So you have the idea of repetition, but you also have the idea that certain things are taboo. And it is kind of weird. Does that mean the Holocaust is bullshit? No, it doesn't really prove anything. And here's another thing about trauma. If you're over the age of 30, and you've lived on planet Earth, you've probably experienced some trauma. Maybe not the worst trauma ever, but I've met some people who have a fair amount of trauma. You want to forget. You want to forget. You want to forget. You want to leave it behind. Nobody wants to make a movie. Nobody wants to have a fucking parade. When it comes to serious trauma, the thing you want to do, the thing your body wants to do, is forget. In fact, you don't need somebody to say, never forget, because you won't forget. Ever. So basically, we have this thing out there that we're told to never forget. And we're told it's taboo to question it. And we're told this over and over again. How is this not gaslighting? How is this not the way a liar behaves? I mean, I get it. I get it. It is possible that Hitler killed a lot of people, and a lot of them could have very well been Jews. It's also possible that we don't really know the truth. And as far as Hitler goes, he seems like kind of a retarded scumbag. But when you think about the history of our country, how many times, going right back to when the ink first dried on the Constitution, how many times have we set up a scumbag, a retarded scumbag, as basically a straw man to topple? How many times have we done this? We might have been doing this right from the beginning, right from the very beginning. So I'm going to repeat this before I move on, because it's worth repeating. If an idea is taboo, if an idea is forbidden, is forbidden as far as discussion goes, then you do have a... It's not only that you should question it, you must question it, really. I've talked to X-Gen people about this. You know, I think it was the 1970s when the Holocaust really started getting pushed hardcore, when they put it into everything, every television show, every movie, everywhere they could place somebody with a number on their arm, they put it in the pop culture. And people like me, before we turned 5 years old, knew about the Holocaust, before we knew about Pol Pot, before we knew about the Armenian Genocide, before we knew about the Middle Passage, the near extinction of every indigenous tribe in the Western Hemisphere. Before we knew about a whole bunch of shit, we knew about the Holocaust. That's weird too, isn't it? Anyways, I'm going to go to the next topic because I'm getting run down, folks. I'm getting run down. So this article I'm about to read is from People Magazine. I'm hoping it shows up because I've had a real bad problem with the interwebs recently. Totally random. This is from People Magazine. Headline or title, Why Kevin Bacon No Longer Eats Bacon or Any Pig or Goat Products. It was written by Clarissa Cruz and updated on November the 9th, 2023. Okay. The 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon podcast host and enthusiastic home cook says his farm-to-table philosophy has some limits. Kevin Bacon may be a fantastic home cook, but there are certain ingredients that are no-fly zones, including one that might surprise fans of the Leave the World Behind star, bacon. I no longer eat goat, and I no longer eat the pig, because I have goats, and I have pigs. Says the actor, 65 years old, who is featured in People's Sexiest Man Alive issue out Friday. My wife, actress Kira Sedgwick, is like, we can't get any more animals because you're going to stop eating everything. It's a valid point, considering the couple has a farm in Connecticut where the aforementioned goats and pigs reside, as well as 3 alpacas and 3 miniature horses that are not part of the food chain. I love animals. They are a joy to be around. And they're very, very calming for me, he says. But we also really love to go into the garden and get those fresh herbs or tomatoes or basil or peppers or zucchini. He adds, taking something hot off the vine that feels warm and smells like it's been created by all these natural forces of the sun and air and water and earth and dirt, and then pulling it back into your body to sustain yourself. It's a great lesson in terms of just how important it is to do our best to try to protect this boat we're all riding in. Bacon's love of food and cooking took root while he was a struggling young actor in New York City. I would take anything that I had and put it into a pan and just fry it up and then eat it with a fork out of the pan, because it would also cut down on the minimum amount of dishes for me to have to clean. He recalls some of his early egg, onion, leftover pasta concoction. And though his frugal days are behind him, the star still prefers cooking over fancy restaurant meals most of the time. I feel like you're always eating out, or you're always getting something to go, and then you're always giving your power over to people that are going to prepare the food and maybe spit in it. I can't do that my whole life. I need to have a little bit more control over what I'm going to put in my body so nobody spits in it. The actor believes he and Kira Sedgwick taught their now-grown children, Travis, 34, and Sosie, 31, the importance of kitchen skills by modeling them, noting that his wife prefers to follow recipes, while his own culinary style is more loosey-goosey. I rarely follow a recipe, he says. I love recipes because I learn something new. I get inspired by something. I like that stuff. But I generally adjust it. fucking Kevin Bacon. Despite his freewheeling cooking style, Bacon is pretty strict when it comes to cleaning up. I clean up as I go along. Well, at least he's not a diddler. My wife does not. I clean up as she goes along, he says. I want to sit down and know that the cleanup is not going to be longer than the dinner. There you go. Kevin Bacon does not eat bacon. And you say to yourself, Dan, why? Why? Because it's part of the big lie, right? Here's an article from The Cradle. Title, Israeli Army Organizes Hiking Tours for Jewish Settlers in Occupied Syria. Israeli officials have declared their goal of extending the borders of Greater Israel to Damascus. This was published in The Cradle by the news desk April the 4th, 2025. The Israeli army is organizing hiking tours for civilians inside recently occupied Syrian territory during the upcoming Passover holiday, according to Israeli media reports. The tours, coordinated by the Israeli military's Northern Command and 210th Division, alongside the Friends on Excursions group, are supported by the Golan Heights Settlements Council and the Israeli Nature and Parks Authority. Participants who must receive special permits, where have I heard that before, will be escorted by Israeli troops as they travel up to 2.5 kilometers into Syrian land near the village of Maraba. Tour highlights include visits to Wadi Rukad, a tributary of the Yarmouk River, the Hejaz Railway Tunnel, the Shabbat Farms, a contested strip of Lebanese territory occupied by Israel, well, who else, at the base of Mount Hermon. Though registration has closed, the Army said additional tours may be offered depending upon security. The excursions mark the first Israeli civilian presence in areas of Syria recently taken over by Israeli forces following the fall of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in December. In recent months, Israel has intensified airstrikes on Syrian military bases and moved beyond the Golan Heights demilitarized buffer zone, occupying strategic areas like Mount Hermon in violation of the 1974 disengagement agreement. Initial Israeli security plans reportedly envisioned a 15-kilometer demilitarized zone and a border 60-kilometer zone of influence inside Syria. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has since called for the complete demilitarization of southern Syria, declaring that Israeli troops would remain in the Golan buffer zone and Mount Hermon indefinitely to block Syrian access south of Damascus. Israeli Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich, wow, that sounds like an Old Testament name, has openly expressed support for expanding Israel's borders beyond Palestinian territories, hinting at ambitions for a greater Israel encompassing parts of neighboring Arab countries, including as far as Damascus. In a French documentary, Israel, Extremists in Power, Smotrich endorsed a Jewish state governed by Jewish values and smiled when asked if Israeli sovereignty should extend beyond the Jordan River. He referenced the biblical prophecy about Jerusalem stretching until Damascus, while the Israeli government maintains its official goal is defeating Hezbollah. Smotrich's comments and settler support raise concerns about broader expansionist intentions in Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, and beyond. There you go. Before we continue, whether it's this subject, some of my bugbear thoughts around permafrost collapse, which has nothing to do with cheeseburgers or your pickup truck, and really does relate to one of those old lies, the lies that gets repeated over and over again, which is, again, it's not very surprising that after the LA fires, everybody immediately knew. Everybody knew. If the building is aflame, find some poor people to blame. That's the oldest fucking lie, and it gets repeated all the time, going back thousands of years. The Romans did not invent that lie. That lie goes right back to the beginning. Right back to the beginning. And for people who have food to eat, a home to live in, and are not on fire, they'll generally believe it. Because the good people live, right? And the bad people die. And there's no way a homeless veteran would ever accidentally be sent to Uncle Ukulele's fucking suck death camp in El Salvador. Yeah, like Abu Ghraib. Stuff like Americans don't do stuff like that ever. You know. I put this article under Worst HOA Ever, Homeowners Association. I will leave it to you to think on it. If this is a true story, if this is a real thing that's happening, it's kind of brutal, kind of disgusting, kind of fucking horrible. And the fact that Americans consider the state of Israel an ally is shameful. They are acting in cruel and destructive ways. They are toppling governments. They are invading other people's lands. And they are using crooked excuses. And yeah, 10-7 is a crooked excuse. Before anybody had any certainty about what really happened, they'd already probably dropped 20 to 30,000 tons of TNT. So really, we'll never fucking know, will we? That's the great thing about these types of false flags, is that the very battle itself covers up the evidence. But the truth comes out. It does. Be careful. If you see people repeating Holocaust over and over again, what you can be certain of is that the state of Israel is probably about to commit a war crime. Next topic. So this is an article from King5.com. Headline, 60 years later, more than 100,000 tires from failed reef plan are coming out of the Puget Sound. A plan to create artificial reefs in the Puget Sound using automotive tires was created by Washington's Department of Natural Resources. This was written by Farah Jadron and published on March 10, 2025. The Puget Sound is about 100 miles long. Its shores touch several large cities, including Seattle, Tacoma, Everett, Olympia, and Bremerton. The sound, called Wooj by the Salish people, spelled phonetically from the Lutohi See, dialect denotes the sound of waves. In 1792, I'm not going to read this fucking bullshit. I'm going to simplify the story for you. And it wasn't just here in Washington State. About 50 years ago, 50 to 60 years ago in different places, so here, other places, they started experimenting with this idea of an artificial reef. And at the time, it seemed to make sense. You know, you drop these tires in little piles, you tie them together, creatures will do what they do, and life goes on. In a lot of cases, it never worked. And it's not just the tire thing. A lot of places sunk boats. They sunk ships. They said, if I sink a ship right about here, there'll be a reef one day. A beautiful coral reef surrounded by fishies that we can put in our dishes. I have another link to an article I'm not going to read. It deals with something called the Calypso Deep. It's a part of the Mediterranean that is nearly 17,000 feet below the surface. And what they've discovered, and it's completely insane, is that there's a shit ton of garbage in the Calypso Deep. And it kind of makes you wonder if garbage is simply being dumped there. You know, it's just being dumped in that spot. I don't know. I think that the world could be a garden. It could. It's not going to be. I think it's too late in the game. There are choices people could have made. It's like the question of, you know, being saved. A person can reasonably say as a Christian, everybody can be saved. Everyone. I can be saved. You can be saved. The Son of God's blood washes the sin away. But that doesn't mean everybody's going to be saved. You have to have faith in order to be saved. And if you listen to Timothy and others, other disciples, including relatives of Jesus, they'll tell you it's not just the faith, but it's the way in which the faith manifests itself in your life, which is another way of saying acts, works, deeds, and faith. It's not just enough to say, I'm a Christian. You have to be able to live the kingdom life. One of those things is forgiveness, which your good friend Dan is really bad at. Not very good at forgiveness. It could have been a garden, but it's not going to be. In our pursuit, and this is the satanic thing, this is the devil's grift going right back to the beginning, right back to Eden. This is the core of the devil's grift. And this is the thing that leads to really crooked homeowners associations like the modern state of Israel or the United States or frankly anywhere there's a fucking government. This old, old grift that the world, all the world can be a paradise. That the dirt and the mud that soaked up all the blood, that the land that has seen all the scars, the world through which a doorway Adam and Eve walked into, and the door was labeled curses. There are people who believe this old satanic lie, that this world can be a paradise. This place is never going to be a fucking paradise. And the more we try to make it a paradise, the more it looks like a fucking landfill. And it's too late. I would love to tell you that we can fix it all today or tomorrow, but we probably can't. We probably gave up too much of our freedom, which means we gave up too much of our individual responsibility. We probably don't understand what's going on, and there's a very good chance that they are poisoning us. They are poisoning us and killing us in such a way that our ability to reason about the world is breaking down. So the very tool we would use, and I remember doing a podcast about this, I think in 2015, the very tool we would use to avoid sinking into the quicksand is the very tool that is being destroyed. That the quicksand is the fact that it's a terrible kind of feedback. The dumber we get, the dumber we get. We should fight back. They're poisoning us, folks. They're poisoning us from the sky. Your voting does nothing. People you care about are going to die of cancer, diabetes, dementia. Kids will be born with autism. And because of all this, you will spend your time taking care of the rubble. You'll be scooping up the garbage and moving it around, but you won't do one fucking thing to stop it. Ever. It's not going to stop. The geoengineering will stop because of collapse at this point. It's not going to stop because of Dane Wigington. I don't know who he is. I think he has a lot of good information, but beyond that, you should be really fucking careful of anybody that has a favorite Roman emperor. Well, Marcus Aurelius, I know, he's a favorite. They were all shitbirds. Anybody that has a favorite Roman emperor, you need to be a little bit skeptical of. But, you know, he's got good information, so he's probably worth looking at for that reason alone. But documentaries and t-shirts and handouts, that's not going to do nothing at this point. Suing people will do nothing. Screaming at people about how nobody's living the stoic life or really cares about their purpose will do nothing. Shaming people, which is something that Dane is really good at in that passive aggressive motherfucker kind of way, shaming people will do nothing. In fact, if people found out, and I think this is the scenario that the Doge might have been created for, if people found out in a few months, maybe this month, if they found out officially, let's drink some coffee, because I get that cotton mouth in the morning, maybe I should wait till later to do these podcasts, but I don't care. If people found out, and I know I've said this before, about the geoengineering, and Papa Blumpity Blump and Elon Musk and RFK Jr. tell you about it this month or next month, and then they turn it off probably in June. they turned it off in June. And then whether it's Chicago or LA, whether it's New York City, it doesn't really matter. It could be the fact that some of these boiling water reactors, they start having that temperature issue about ambient heat exchange. Yeah, who knows? But then people will scream to Dane, and at this point, Dane has already been to the White House. He's already been there. He's part of the press conference. They'll go to Papa Blumpity Blump and say, "Can you turn the thing back on?" They will. They will. When humidity reaches 90% and the temperature is about 90 to 100, they'll go to Papa Blumpity Blump and say, "Please turn it back on." That's way more likely than any documentary changes things, than Marcus Aurelius helps you or being a Stoic helps you. It's way more likely than handouts and t-shirts to have an effect and to occur, which means that this will continue until the end. And as far as people go, yeah, I think we are kind of like garbage people. And a big part of that is because we're treated like slaves. Anyways, here's the thing about the tariff. So there was this news article about how one of Trump's tariffs would be leveled on the state of Israel. And I'll just keep it simple because I don't want to read the quote. It's kind of a dumb quote, but whatever tariff gets leveled on the state of Israel, I can guarantee you there will be foreign aid that offsets it. That we'll cut foreign aid to everybody, but we won't cut it to the state of Israel. We already know this. Get over it. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. "Sometimes the ugliest rose is the fragrant flower. Sometimes the ugliest rose is the fragrant flower. Sometimes the ugliest rose is the flagrant flower. The flagrant flower, fragrant. You can smell it from miles away, right down the highway. Sometimes that ugly, ugly rose is a fragrant flower." Yeah, whatever. I read something on social media where a person had said, "Well, we had 24-hour Walmart, and we had $1 McChickens, we had $5 footlongs, $20 full tanks, 99-cent stores. Man, we had it all. What happened? Oh." Well, here's my response. Most of us, probably me, you, all of us, most of us became retards. And the universe punishes retards. Retards think this place will be a paradise. So it ends up being a landfill covered in fucking suck prisons. Yeah, Dan, that's really mean, though. I don't really care. I'm not doing so great, and I don't really care. So I came across a recycled trauma monkey. Keep in mind, this month or next month, you're going to read an article about the murder hornet. They've been putting murder hornet articles out there since 2013. So in a couple months, you're going to read an article about the murder hornet. It's a 12-year-old bullshit story, but you're going to read it. Here's another one. A person on social media did a great job of doing a screenshot. They captured the source, The Atlantic, the headline. In the last 3 months, the word faggot has been tweeted 2.6 million times. And this is written by Rebecca J. Rosen. But the one thing that the trauma monkey manager doesn't get in the screenshot is the date of the article. That's weird. The article date, the date of the news story, is 2012. Not 2024, not 2019, not 2014, 2012. When you're on social media and you see an article posted or a video posted and there's no context about the date or the location, you should be very suspect. A lot of this stuff gets recycled over and over again, and its purpose is simply to make you angry, make you confused, and essentially put you in a state where you're malleable, you're controllable, you're not going to do nothing. You'll wait until you get a chance to vote. If you're Mega Man, you're going to whatever. Maybe Trump's going to have 3 or 4 more terms, I don't care. If you're NPR woman or man, you're going to say, oh, this next election, we're going to win again, the Democrat. Yeah. They don't want you to do anything useful, and none of you are doing anything useful at all, including me. I mean, I don't really intend to do anything useful because I know there's nothing useful to be done. At this point, you can endure it. You can try to survive it. You can be in a position to make it through. That the advice I gave 10 years ago is still true. Find a dried crusty on the side of the toilet bowl and hold on because a flush is coming. And it's going to be really fucking bad. And it won't be like James Howard Kunstler's long emergency. It won't be this slow, linear, gradual decay. Nature doesn't work that way. You know, and if you, well, but what about the Roman Empire? Oh, no, this is going to be a lot worse than that. And this crack-up will be literally epic, and it will be discontinuous, cascading, and very brutal. But you can worry about the murder hornets if you want to. There will be murder hornet stories starting in May, perhaps June of this year. They'll tell you, north of Bellingham, Washington, they found a fucking murder hornet. It was carrying away a small goat, a small pig. Kevin Bacon could be seen, crying, so much sadness, murder hornet, taking away our pigs and our goats and our, taking away our bacon. So, I got a really positive email from a listener, and like you know, I don't really tend to dox people unless I believe they're a threat. And there's very few people I've confirmed are threats. So I've doxed more or less one person. And the person deserves to be doxed. If a journalist reaches out to me from Mother Jones about a person, they're already being doxed by Mother Jones. Just not very well. I mean, or rather, the journalist is a shithead. But that being said, it's okay. It's okay. I got an email, and it was a great email. And it's nice to get these emails, but the problem is one of the ways in which I have been manipulated, and it's happened to me, is this sort of like, you know, give me 50 compliments and then tell me to do something. By the way, that's another way that gaslighters work. It's not just that they repeat a lie over and over again, but they will constantly pump your ego. They'll pump your ego, and then they'll say, hey, Dan, would you like to do a software project where you don't get paid, or you get paid very little, or it's really weird and there appears to be no point? You know, do you want that? Do you want to work for a guy who claims to be a high-tech genius, but then rolls out like a 10-year-old computer that barely works and says, oh, why don't you use this? We had a bunch of garbage in our closet. Yeah. So I've been down that road, and I'm fairly certain since 2016, I have been, to some extent, gang-stalked. I did not come to that conclusion easily. It took me most of the last 7-8 years to figure it out, but I have. And I'm not sure that everybody in the story is part of it, but it's a weird story. And again, one of the outcomes of gang-stalking and cyber-stalking is that even if you recognize it for what it is, it still ends up putting you in a place where you cannot trust. You have a hard time trusting anybody. You have a hard time trusting your own family. And it is a very dark, paranoid place. And you could say, well, Dan, isn't that a good reason to just completely disconnect? To shut down the podcast, shut down the blog? And I've thought about it. I've thought about it for a lot of different reasons, not least of which is that if I intend to survive what's coming, I should shut it down. Not because I'm afraid of being arrested or sent to Uncle Ukulele's death camp, because, you know, from my perspective, probably people go there, they live about a year, they die. It's not, there's no purpose for storing them. You have to understand the history of that part of the world to know what's really going on at Uncle Ukulele's death camp. Anywho, but Dan, they would never, the government's so efficient, Dan. The government is so effective. The government's so perfect. I gotta ignore Doje for a second. That they would never accidentally hoover up a homeless person and send them to Uncle Ukulele's death camp. And my answer to that is, you're fucking crazy. You're deluded. You don't fucking care. So in some ways, maybe it would be as bad to simply trust at this point. Like maybe there is no good position. Maybe there is no good perspective. I can defend myself that I have been pretty consistent in the last decade, but that also doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Telling people that someone's going to fart in their face, even if you turn out to be true, is the worst superpower ever, and it's not really a superpower. It's something everybody can do if they put down their fucking smart device. But telling people this, it doesn't help. It doesn't make a difference. And if all it does is bring in people like, you know, the Goat King and the people that work for him, then it's like, I just don't know what to say, right? Maybe it is a good time just to stop. I'm 55 years old. There's no sunshine romance getaway for me. Every scenario I've thought about, I've got maybe another 10 years. And also, I don't fucking care. There are people I love in this world, sure. And I'm sure there are people who love me. That's great. But we are all in the same place, and this is not paradise. It could be a garden. It's not going to be. It could be better. It's not going to be. We could live free, but we're too fucking scared, and we're a bunch of fucking cowards. So we put all our energy into the Papa Blumpity Blumps and into the AOCs and the Democrats and Republicans. We give all of our energy to lies and smoke. Because we're too afraid to recognize our situation, and it is bad. And it's got nothing to do with your hot dog, with your fucking cheeseburger. It's got nothing to do with your SUV. It's something that might have always happened. Like a French farmer that hits a big bertha round from World War I in 1922, somebody was going to hit that artillery round. Someone was going to explode. It just happened to be you. What we ought to do is understand the truth so that we can do something about it in terms of surviving. But that is the rub. That's why this is so despicable. Because if we had the chance to know, to understand, we would have a chance to live. And that is what they, in my opinion, if I'm right, if it really is the worst case scenario, that is what they took away from you. They took away the likelihood that you might survive. And this summer is going to be crazy. And guess what? It doesn't get better from there. Does that mean it's the end of the world? No. I know I say it like if you've, it may even feel like, it feels like it to me sometimes. I tell people it's not the end of the world. It's not. It's not. Probably not. And I would say definitely not. But that still doesn't matter. Everybody dies. And sometimes a shit ton of people die, and even when that happens, it's still not the end of the world. So yeah, guess what? Not the end of the world, and also, what's coming could be really fucking terrible. Have a great rest of your Sunday.